It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This week, the National Center for Education Statistics released what's known as the nation's report card. On national reading and math exams, the scores of Wisconsin 4th and 8th graders remain mostly unchanged since 2022, and our state performed better than most others in both subjects. But according to the data, Wisconsin continues to have the biggest test score gap between black and white students in the country. And Milwaukee Public Schools has among the lowest scores for reading and math out of the 26 urban districts surveyed. We turn to a member of the State Senate's Committee on Education to talk further about the takeaways from the 2024 National Assessment of Educational Progress. Democratic State Senator Chris Larson is here, represents a district in southeast Milwaukee County. State Senator Larson, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me, Kate. Good to be here. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. What are your top line takeaways here? What stands out?
I think these are distressing scores for sure. But I think we have to start with two baselines before we dive in and try to figure out what to make of it and where we go from here. And the first thing is there's no test results that can come back from NAEP where we get to give up on our kids. And I think the second one is to recognize that in these NAEP scores, as well as a lot of the assessments that happen, there is a strong negative correlation with poverty, meaning the higher the poverty, the lower the test scores. So I think starting from those two points, I think we can have an honest conversation about what we all can do to try and make sure we're addressing the underlying poverty, and then also making sure we're boosting these test scores to a place where we can all be comfortable and our kids have a clear path towards getting towards the American dream.
We should note, too, that there is a bright spot here. Eighth grade math scores are the third highest in the nation. What do you think is working in math that is not working in reading?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely got to dive a little bit deeper into the data to figure out what that is going to show us. But I think that there has been a lot of growth on the literacy side, too. So, yes, we're doing better in math for eighth grade, which is fantastic. But there's also been growth over time within the school district, which one of the school board members had pointed out. But you have to dive in and focus on this stuff to be able to understand that there is some brighter spots like the one that you pointed out.
Wisconsin continues to have the widest test score gap between black and white students. What is the legislature doing on this piece to close this racial disparity gap?
Yeah, there has been a continued disinvestment in Milwaukee. We unfortunately have one of the most segregated communities in the country. If you are underfunding our large urban area, which in the state of Wisconsin is primarily Milwaukee, that's where you are going to be hurting everybody within that school district. And you're definitely hurting students of color. I don't think that's acceptable. And I think if we would have adjusted for inflation of where we were funding on a per pupil basis 15 years ago, our pupils would be valued $3,000 more than they are right now. That combined with a focused attack from Republicans on Milwaukee, that adds up. Right. 18 of the last 20 years have been under Republican control in the legislature, and they have had this overarching focus to continue to cut public education, to shift dollars out of schools, public schools, to unaccountable voucher schools, and using any test result as an excuse to continue to cut or continue to make it harder for teachers. And I don't think I need to remind you, we had Act 10, which was specifically targeted at teachers and has led to a lot of people exiting the profession, a lot of people not going into it. One in three teachers, new teachers, leave the profession within 5 years because they cannot find their footing. They're not paid. They're not valued. And I think we need to address those things within a school. And as I mentioned, you have to address those things outside of a school. But this is on all of us. I think as we're having these conversations, I think if there are folks who are trying to find a scapegoat, they are trying to get the attention off of themselves. This is not something we would allow with your own kids in your own house, to allow them to fall behind and try to punish them into success. It wouldn't work. So why should we treat our neighbor's kids any different to make sure that we are wrapping our arms around them, giving them what they need, and having those high standards and then dedicating ourselves to making sure that they can hit them?
Meanwhile, Senator Larson, Superintendent Jill Enderle said in a statement the legislature has let public school funding fall behind. You have laid that out in what you've just said here, but she also connected these test results to under-resourced schools and is asking for the $4 billion in new spending in her two-year budget proposal. What level of state aid do you support, given what you see in this data?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. We have tried to wag our fingers, the state, at schools and to be able to say, do more with less, right? And throwing more hurdles at them, requiring them to have new requirements without funding those. As I'm sure you know, there's $50 million sitting in the state coffers that were assigned to deal with literacy specifically. Mm-hmm. Schools have had to do it, but the money has not been forwarded to them to actually tackle those problems. So the numbers, while it's stunning, $4 billion, right, to be able to meet the investment for our public schools, that's also the amount of money that we have in our state surplus. So this is the time to do it. There is no cheap way out of this. You have to make sure you are funding every kid so that they show that they're valued. We need to do that first and every single day by investing in our kids. I think investing in teachers in the classroom, so to a ratio that gives them the opportunity to connect with each child to show that they're valued. And I think, you know, I don't want to sound like somebody who's far away from it, but you know, Kate, picture your favorite teacher. Mm-hmm. That you might have had when you were in grade school. And if your listeners are thinking that same way, think of your favorite teacher, you know, and you think about it now, was their motivation the paycheck? And for most of them, it's the mission, it's the service to the kids and making a difference. We should not exploit that by paying teachers a starting wage of $34,000, which is less than a legislator gets. I introduced a bill to make sure every teacher in the state starting is making at least as much as a legislator. By valuing the teachers, they in turn can value the kids, and every kid then feels valued. And to paraphrase FDR, kids don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Just to put a finer point, would you put the bulk of the state's budget surplus into education?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can and should be investing in, but there's nothing in my mind that's more important than making sure that our kids are caught up. We have had 15 years where we have fallen behind, where the cuts initially happened when there was, I mean, way, way back when there was the mortgage crisis of and the financial crisis mm-hmm. of 2008, 2009. We have not caught up to that point. So again, I mentioned it earlier, but if you adjust where we were then and adjust for inflation, every single child in our state should be getting $3,000 more worth of investment. And it's clear in these scores, this should be a rallying call for everybody to step up and say, we need to catch this up. And if we're not, we are mortgaging off our future, right? So yes, we might have a little bit of a tax cut, you know, for the very rich, they get a much bigger one. And in the meantime, we're paying for it by underfunding our kids.
Talking with Democratic State Senator Chris Larson, looking at results of the nation's report card. In terms of the Literacy Law Act 20, you mentioned that would change how kids are taught to read in Wisconsin. The $50 million needed to fund that law is yet to be released by the legislature's budget committee. What are next steps there in this session?
Yeah, I mean, there's the governor mentioned it in his State of the State last week. I imagine he's going to continue to try and put pressure on the Republicans in joint finance to release those dollars. I'm not sure what they are waiting for, but the budget was signed off on. That money should have been released to go into schools. And mind you, it wasn't enough to be able to fund the literacy programs as they were outlined in the law. But the money was specifically added to get Superintendent Enderle on board and to be able to get a lot of Democrats, including the governor, on board to say you have to actually fund this. So to have this, you know, Lucy and Charlie Brown situation where they decide to pull the money back after, you know, the bill was passed, it's unethical, and the person who's swinging and missing is our kids. Like, we're not investing in literacy because I'm not sure they just believe that the schools have enough or have enough resources, or they're just looking for ways to punish them. So that's it's irresponsible, and you'd have to ask them why they think it's a good idea that the $50 million is you know, better sitting in the state coffers than being spent on literacy for our kids.
Let's take one look here at special education cost reimbursement. State Superintendent Jill Enderle calling for those costs to be reimbursed eventually at 90%. You told WPR last fall that you support that rate. Would an increase in special education funding lead to improved test scores, help close the achievement gap between Black and white students?
Yes. Yes, undoubtedly. 90%. And if that sounds like a lot, I know that I've had some folks, including reporters, who are like, well, why is the state not funding 100%? And just to back up, what special education reimbursement means is there's a recognition by the state that students who have an IEP or individualized education program, some type of a disability or something that's holding them back just a little bit, they need a special education. They need a direct attention from educators and professionals. And so the state in the past has said that we are going to fund that so that you are held harmless. This is important because public schools have a higher percentage of students with disabilities than private schools, even those that take private vouchers. Now, private voucher schools get 90% of those costs reimbursed. Public schools get 34%. And it's not even a guarantee. They have to fight every other school district in the state for it. So the real number is actually going to end up probably being less than 30%. The other 60% has to come from somewhere, Kate. And it's usually in larger class sizes for everybody. It's usually in them having to cut entire programs to try and make up for this. Schools should not be penalized for trying to bring every student up to proficiency and making sure that no one is left behind. But right now, that's exactly what the state is doing.
State Senator Chris Larson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, Kate.
Thank you. Chris Larson is the Wisconsin State Senator representing District 7 in Southeast Milwaukee County. We've been talking about the release of the 2024 National Assessment of Educational Progress, which provides data for the nation's report card and how Wisconsin 4th and 8th graders stack up. Wisconsin Today also reached out to two Republicans on the Assembly Education Committee, but didn't hear back.